Cloud. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT Practice Accelerator educational call. This is a series. There's a series of five of them, and they're all geared towards helping you to learn some of the basic strategies and advanced techniques as well for attracting and retaining your ideal clients and putting together the programs that are going to help them. This particular one I felt the need for was copywriting. And I know we've had some recent events and calls about creating programs and creating opt-ins and that. And copywriting is something that is across the board important, whether you're speaking to somebody in the grocery store, believe it or not, using copywriting techniques can help you mold your conversation. Whether you're posting on to Facebook, whether you're putting a blog post up, whether you're writing an email to people, creating a landing page, or the long drawn out doing a sales page, all of that stuff requires the same basic elements to get somebody to take action. So copywriting is intended to move somebody to taking action. So I'm going to share my screen and show you a presentation that I put together, and feel free to interject and ask questions as we go along, because that's how we learn. And then we'll have open time for questions and application at the end. So let me do a share screen. And I will make sure that you can see this. PowerPoint slide. Yeah. Right. Are you seeing it? First slide. Yeah. There we go. I want to see what you're seeing, actually. So where am I seeing it? Is it just the slide, or is there like stuff around it? Because I can't see it.
It's just the slide.
Yeah. Just the slide. Perfect. I did it right. I learned a new method with PowerPoint, and I'm doing it right. Awesome. All right. So we're talking today about copywriting, the art of effective copywriting. And the goal of effective copywriting is to move your client into action, right? In either making a decision that, wow, working with you is going to be like the thing to do, or they're going to make a decision that, no, I don't really, this isn't, doesn't apply to me, right? It's not a problem that I have. So there's basic components that we're going to use in copywriting. And the whole goal is to get them to see like our mission, right? Our mission is to help them and to create a new healthcare paradigm. And the copywriting helps us to live out our mission, to give them what they need in order to make a decision to get a problem fixed. So it's really moving us towards our mission. And it's also something, it's part of my Unstoppable Practitioner formula. It's part of almost just about every one of the steps in here, because you're going to use effective writing in terms of attracting your ideal client, in terms of putting together, even putting together a program inside the program. We don't think of that as copywriting, but we want to keep people engaged throughout the program. So we need to use the art of persuasive copywriting, of writing in general, to make sure that they're going through it. So I wanted to show you how this fits into the model, where it fits into the model of helping you to create your dream business, right? We've already talked about in our first training, identifying the problem you solve, the audience you help, the results system. We'll be talking in another one of these trainings on how to actually create that results system to get results. And then the pieces that are really important are getting people to engage in your content. So the client attraction methods and your client enrollment system all need to be able to use effective writing techniques. And as geeky techie people, right? We learn this stuff and we're all excited, and we just want to tell them about this pathway that helps them to regulate insulin, or we want to talk to them about these foods and all, but we really need to have them engaged in what's the real problem and what is it that they really need, like really like searching and craving that solution. It's said that approximately, let's see, if you think about 100% of the people out there that could benefit from your solution. Not everybody out in the world, but 100% of the people that could benefit from your solution. Only about 3 of them are actively looking for the solution. Only about 3% of those people are actively looking for the solution. And what we do with the mistake we all make is marketing to just those 3%. Oh, I've got this person who already knows that her belly fat and her brain fog and her exhaustion are all related to blood sugar. And she's looking for somebody to help her solve her blood sugar problem. That's 3%. There's another set of percentages, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but something in the neighborhood of 30% are aware that they have a problem, but they're not actively looking for a solution. They're thinking maybe someday. And I'm hearing some talking, so I'm going to change the manage participants, and I'm going to set it to mute all. Yes. There we go. And I'm going to say, yeah, hopefully it'll keep people muted when they come in. So welcome if you just showed up. Thank you very much for being here. Looks like Mihaela showed up. Great. So they're not all looking, but they're aware that they have the problem. But here's the thing. There's another 70% that aren't even aware that they have the problem. They don't even know they have the problem. They're just walking around in a fog. They're walking around exhausted. They're walking around, you know, with belly problems, and they just know that they just take the Maalox because that's what the commercials tell them to take. They don't know what the real problem is. They're not looking for a solution, but they're not aware they have a problem. So we want our copy, our writing, our speaking to engage them, even the people who aren't aware that they have a problem. And that's where effective copywriting comes in. It's really easy to write to the people that are searching for a solution. You just have to say, hey, here's the solution and here's why I'm so good at it and why I can help you with this. Whereas the next group, you have to make them aware that it's urgent that they get this solved quickly because here's where it's going to lead to. And that other 70%, you're going to have to work at. About 30% of those 70%, they ain't never going to buy anything. They're just going to be staying chronically in their situation for whatever reason. And they're probably not the ones you want to market towards. But there's about that 70% of people that you can be marketing towards. And you might only right now be talking to the 3% who are already looking for the solution, right? Does that make sense? So in like Annette's case, it's like there's some of those moms that are so stressed out and they know they need a solution and they need to take care of themselves and they're going to jump on you. There's that other 27% of the first 30% who are going, oh yeah, but you know, my kid is the most important thing. Oh yeah. You know, I'll just take more coffee. I'll just take some stimulants. I'll deal with it. I don't need to deal with this. Your job is to educate them as to why it's important for their own health, but more so why it's important for the health of what they're putting most important, their kid and how they have to be there. So there's some education and you did a beautiful job of it in your landing page and your email. But then there's those people that they don't even know it's a problem, right? Just give the kid insulin and, you know, it's fine, right? It just let them live for the rest of their lives on insulin. Doctor knows best. It's not going to hurt my kid. It's not going to hurt me. And that's a different approach. So we're going to talk today about how to approach the general way that you write and speak as well. So when you're crafting your message, you want to be able to do this in an email. You want to be able to do it in an order form, on a website, on a blog, on Facebook, on guest articles you write on other people, in your YouTube videos, right? Always keeping in mind these stages that I'm going to share with you today. That whenever you're doing a communication with somebody with the intent of helping them and helping them to engage your services so you can help them, it's a form of copywriting. So all of these places that you're going to be working, it's important to get this concept. So where do we use this also? In your lead magnets. Like I said, you know, we've been working on crafting those lead magnets, those entry level free gifts. But we want to engage them at where they're thinking, where they're feeling the pain. So in this presentation today, I am going to be sharing the components to effective copy. And we're going to be talking about each and every one of them so that when you're putting something together, you can just use this checklist and go, did I do this? Did I do that? Great, great, great. I've got it. Oh, I'm missing this. Let me go in and see where it best fits. The order that you use these in, it's going to vary from one type of copy to the next. So if you're writing an email, you may have some of these that you don't actually do in the email. You're sending them somewhere to get that. but the order might be different. In a sales page, boy, you're going to hit all of these in good detail so that people feel it at the end and they're going to take action. Notice that the last one in this list is the call to action. And surprisingly, this is where a lot of people miss. They do a great job of all these other steps, which I'll be going through in a second, but they forget to tell the person what to do. Click the button, register now, download, tell them what to do, because they're not going to infer it. They're going, oh, this is all nice. Oh, this is what I need to do. So always remember that call to action. Everything ends with the call to action. An email is going to end with a call to action of click here to find out more. Click here to order this product. Click here to download your special report. Click here to read my latest blog. And in your blog, there's going to be a call to action, right? Everything needs a call to action. So let's start at the top. The first thing we need to do is get their attention, right? You can't be standing there and talking and you're in a busy room and nobody's listening. You got to get their attention. Hello, hello. So how do you call out, hello, I have something important for you? We're going to talk in detail about that. The next thing, though, you need to do is stir up their emotion. You've got to address their pain points. If a lot of people make the mistake of talking about the good stuff that their person's going to get, but you have to stir the pain first, because a lot of folks, they're going, yeah, that's good, but you don't understand. I have headaches. You know, I have menstrual cramps that keep me laying on the couch, and you want to tell me how I can be running around in the backyard having a great time? No, tell me how to get rid of this pain, right? You're going to be creating the solution, but you've got to get the pain first. A lot of people make a mistake of starting with giving them, here's a solution, without creating the urgency, the desire. So you've got to create that desire for the solution, address their pain points. And the next thing is education. It's what some of my mentors call education-based marketing, right? If they're walking down the street and they don't even know what organic food is, other than something that's meant to rip people off, right? They don't know the benefits. They don't know the dangers. You've got to educate them as to why it's worth spending an extra 20 cents for that apple when it's organic versus not. That's the educational piece. A lot of us, because we're geeky and we love the educational piece, jump right into the education before we get their attention, like really grab their attention and stir up the emotion. And then that education doesn't really click in the nervous system as to creating a desire for a change. The next piece is the creating urgency. Like, well, yeah, but I'm only 27. Why should I care about my heart right now, right? Why should I care about things that are going to protect my heart or my joints or my hormones? I'm 27, right? And I just have this minor stuff like headaches. Just tell me what to do with the headaches. You got to create the urgency of why they need to go deeper rather than just take a symptom solution and then offer them a solution. That's where describing your program, describing your free opt-in, describing what you can offer them in a free consultation service. That's where you're offering them solution. And depending on the type of service you're offering but also kind of correspondence you're having, that will be shorter or longer depending. And then the call to action, like buy this now, click here to sign up for a consultation to determine if working together is going to be a great thing. Click here to download my free report. Click here to read my blog. That's the call to action. So let's go through each of these, right? Getting attention. We want to hook them. But I think about hooking as being this evil, bad thing, right? You're going to hook a fish and you stick a thing in it and it's bleeding and it's bad, right? And that's what people think of. Oh, it's a manipulative technique. No, you want to hook them. That means get their attention, hook them in to go, oh, I want more. I want to read more. And you can do that from the heart, right? You can hook them from a heart-based place. You don't have to be manipulative or evil. And I just liked this picture when I saw it because I was looking for hooks. And I'm like, oh, you know, the hooks, but this is like more, okay, let's get them in. Let's get them inside because we want them to access their heart to make a decision from their heart. Right? So you want to get attention. Now, how do you do that? Well, if you're writing an email, it's the headline. I was talking to Janet earlier. She sent me her copy for her lead magnet. And oh my God, her hook was really hooky, but it did touch the heart. It was, Janet, you can correct me if I don't get this exactly right, but it was something like, Are you writing your grandchild's obituary? Who's not going to go, whoop, whoop, what's that? What the heck is that about? And click it, right? Did I get that right? I think I might have said it wrong a little bit, Janet. Is that right? Yeah. Are you writing your grandchild? I'm like, holy cow, she's got me, right? Am I doing this? Now I know what she's doing and it still got me. So they're going to click it. So they're going to open it. We are a little bit of a blip in a very noisy environment that these people have, right? They are inundated with email. They're inundated with work. They're inundated with worries about their kids, but they are looking for solutions or they wouldn't be on all these lists, correct? Right? So we want to hook them in and get them to open your email versus somebody else's email. And if you just said, hey, I've got a cool new program for grandparents, right? That doesn't really hook them. So you write that, you get them in. You've got to get their attention. In a sales page, it's the headline, right? On your free opt-in page, it's the headline. The headline doesn't have to be the name of your gift. It doesn't have to be geeky and explain all the whys and wherefores of it. Gets their attention. And it gets their attention by either addressing a problem that's top of mind for them. It is curiosity provoking. Are you writing your grandchild's obituary? Holy cow. Like, yeah, whoa. Like, what can you do to get their attention? Is it something that like touches a note of altruism in them? Something that touches on a cause that they're excited about? And this is where knowing your audience makes sense. And you'll play with a lot of different hooks before you get it right. And you can test this. You can create a subject line and send it out, see how many people open it. You know, you can then test it again and see how many people open it. You can split your list once the list grows and you have more than 100 people on it. Even with 100 people, you could split it 50-50 and send 50 people one subject line, 50 people another randomly, and then just see which one gets opened more. But really sitting with the hook, and this is for me the hardest part, the part that takes the longest. The writing flows, but getting that attention-grabbing thing is always hard. And you just never know what's gonna fly. So play with the hook. Now that you're putting together stuff, the hook is the attention grabbing subject line. That's going to be short. The attention grabbing headline that's on a sales page could be longer. That could be a full sentence or, you know, a parenthetical kind of sentence. That's fine. But with the email, it has to be short and sweet because most people are looking at it where? On their phones, right? There's not a lot of space to see all the great long headlines. So get attention. Any questions about the hook and getting attention? We're good? That makes sense? Okay. All right. The next thing you want to do is stir their emotion. What's keeping them awake at night? If you stir their emotion, it means like present what the problem is. And maybe you start with a little description. Are you struggling with debilitating menstrual cycles? Are you exhausted trying to take care of your kids during the day after a long night of staying up with your diabetic child? Are you really concerned because you see your grandchildren getting diseases that people in your era didn't get? Are you finding that you're just not making time for you in your life and you're really needing to connect with that? Whatever the emotion is, you want to start by stirring it up. And then what they call, which I don't like this phrase, but they use it in copywriting, is aggravated, right? It's like, don't just say it, but just go into the details of how this exhaustion is affecting your sex life. How is this confusion affecting your ability to do your job? How is this being exhausted after a long night up impacting your other relationships in your family? What is that you can aggravate? And usually bullet points are good here, you know, a couple of sentences, that kind of thing. You want to stir up and get them like, oh, I better read this because this is for me. This is for me. You always want to think about getting them to say, this is for me. Wow. This is for me for sure. So stir the emotion. Any other questions, comments about stirring up the emotion? Concerns? Good? Is that helpful? Okay. And then you want to educate them, right? So you've gotten their attention and you've stirred up some emotion. And then you want to educate them. You want them to get some understanding of why this is so important. This could be statistics. you know, 4 out of 5 women, blah, 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 80% of Americans this. And did you know that this minor problem with headaches now can be a sign of something else that's going to lead down the road? You know, Alzheimer's down the road from your blood sugar being up and down and you being craving food all day. Like education. This is where you're educating them that whatever they're experiencing may not be what it seems on the surface, right? The solution may not be just let's just get rid of this symptom. You've got to educate them. And this is where I think we all do really well because we're really good at educating. But we, a lot of times we jump in and we start the education process before we've gotten their attention and before we've stirred up the emotion. And so when you do it in this order, then the education falls on open ears. When you don't, it falls on deaf ears, right? Did you ever try when you're at a, like a family gathering or a party with friends and you just start to blab on, they're eating, you know, M&Ms and you just start to talk to them about the dye in the M&Ms and the sugar in the M&Ms and the milk in the M&Ms and you're telling them all this stuff and they're going, ah, that's nice, right? But the difference is if they look at you and go, huh, I noticed you're not eating the M&Ms. Is there a reason you're not eating the M&Ms? Why are you staying away from the M&Ms? And you look really good and healthy. Maybe there's a reason for it. Tell me. Then you start telling them about the dye and the sugar and the milk. Then are they going to be more likely to listen? Right? Because you've created, they've incited, they've looked at you and go, oh, I'm jealous. I don't look like her. She's not eating the M&Ms. I am. What's the difference? Maybe I, you know, it's a bad example, but that you get the idea, right? And whenever, like if my family members didn't ask for advice and I gave it to them, it just, the education wasn't there. But if they got emotional, like around the time when my parents died, you know, they were more likely to go to me, okay, what's up with this? You know, is this our genes? Like we're going to die really young? What can we do differently? Then they'll listen to me. See what I mean? So they've got the emotional attachment. Does this make sense? So education-based marketing, right? Like I said before, if somebody doesn't know why organic food is important, they don't know. They're not going to spend the extra 20 cents to get an organic apple versus a non-organic apple. But when you educate them about the difference and how that impacts their body and their life and their kids' health, that's a great way to get emotion, by the way, is the kids and the grandchildren, because people are much more likely to take care of their kiddos than themselves. Then they're more likely to listen. Does that make sense? You got to create urgency, right? Why do you need to solve this problem? They go, well, it's just, you know, it's just a headache. And I just take my aspirin or Midol and put a hot water bottle over my belly to get the cramps down. Why is it urgent that they get this fixed? Why is it so important that they do it and that they do it now? Like create that urgency. How do you do that? Well, you can do that through educational pieces. Like you can do it where you're taking them through a process of, well, what would happen if this gets worse? What happens and what does it really mean? And how does it affect your body long term? But you can also create the urgency of like, financial urgency, right? You're in a job and you're 3/4 of the time, you're brain fogged. Have you been passed up for a promotion, right? How much money is in your savings account? How much can you do to improve that, right? So urgency is so, so important. When people don't have urgency, they go, I'll do this next week. I always get that when people say, oh, well, are you going to do that program next year? And they go, I didn't create enough urgency. Like, do you freaking want to suffer for another year before you take this up? You have headaches. I can't stand a headache for 30 seconds. And you want to go another year before you engage in a process to get rid of this? Oh, you have hot flashes and it keeps you up all night. Like, you really want to wait till next year to do it? Like, really creating that why it's important now. What are they missing out on? And what are the damage are they leading to if they don't do something about it? You gotta present a solution. And this is where a lot of people jump right in when they're explaining what they have. Oh, download my book and it's gonna give you XYZ. Even if it's free, you still have to create this. Oh, download this book and it's gonna give you the 12 solutions and the 14 herbs that help you prevent hot flashes. And they're like, okay, well, I don't know about that. I didn't know my hot flashes were so bad. So you have to hook them in. You get their attention. You got to get the, stir up the emotion around why these symptoms suck and they don't want to keep doing, they don't want to keep living with it. You got to then educate them about the long-term consequences and the short-term and the financial consequences and however the heck many consequences you can come up with, right? You got to create that now's the time to do this. But now what do they do about it? You created all that. And then if you leave them, a lot of people do that actually, by the way, they leave them there and you're like, okay, what's the solution? The solution is my 5-step process for getting rid of hot flashes permanently. My 12-step, that might be too much for the exhausted moms. My 4-step, 5-step process for helping you go from exhaustion to clarity so you can better take care of your kids. And then you explain it. What is the system you've developed? What are the steps that are involved? And don't make it more than 5 steps or 7 steps or you're going to lose them. What are the steps that are going to be involved in you going from where you are now to where you want to be? Right? And like I said, depending on what copy you're writing, you may not have the solution. And you, in fact, you shouldn't have the solution in the email. You want to get them to click. So you want to create the first few in the email. So you get the hook, you get them, you create the emotional, maybe even create the urgency, but usually you just kind of do the hook and get the emotion stirred and say, hey, I've got some, you know, some solutions for this, go here. And then you can educate them. But it just depends. And, you know, there's no hard or fast rules as to what works. I know some people make the email super, super short, just to get, create the curiosity and the urgency, and they click, right? And then they go into the detail. If you make the mistake of making the email too long, you make the mistake of losing them. They'll never get to where you have your call to action, right? Because they don't have the time. So you quick, boom, send them over there. Send them to that thing. Keep the email copy short and sweet and emotional. Annette's was like so emotional. It just, every sentence stirred emotion until, hey, here's a solution, go there. So you might even be jumping ahead to the, here's the solution, go here. And then you're going to go more into the detail. So the solution needs to be a true solution, right? It has to be, not like a, I'm trying to think of one that wouldn't be a true solution now that I said that. Not something that takes them to, let me come back to that because I'm not sure where I was going with that part, but it really needs to be the solution that you can offer, right? A solution you can offer, not a solution that's what I meant was not a solution that's pie in the sky, right? Not a solution that's, oh, you just have to do this and do that. And, you know, That's it, right? You don't tell them how to get that solution. You don't offer them the solution. You want to offer them a concrete solution. And then the next piece is, guess what? The call to action. So many people, like I said, they don't do it. Download here. Buy this now. Sign up for a free consultation. Allison and I talked earlier about even in a video, like doing a video. The video is your copy. It's just a different form of your copy, right? So you're still wanting to go through all of these pieces. Hook them. Stir their emotion. Get them into an urgency situation. Tell them about a solution and tell them what to do. So in that case, like Allison in making that video, it's like the call to action is click that button down below. Not just tell them and then you have the button there. So they should see the button, right? They'll see the button. They'll click it. No. Click that button right now and set up a time for us to talk. And I'll help you to get some clarity around what your next steps are to solve this problem. Call to action. And that's it for effective copy. Now we can go through examples. We can talk more in detail about each of these steps. But I wanted to give you a general overview. Copywriting takes time to learn. And I know some of you are like, I struggle. But what I've seen come out of it is really decent copy. I wouldn't say excellent copy until we tweak it, right? But really decent copy that has a lot of these components. And the way you take it through to the next level is you sit with your copy and you say, okay, I am my audience, right? I am this woman who's doubled over, and maybe that used to be you and you're not, doubled over every month and misses half days of work because she can't deal with it. what am I feeling? Like, is this going to attract me in? What would a headline be that like gets me? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I want more, right? What are those things? And so you read your copy and you pretend you're in that situation again. And you say, is this calling to me? Is it calling me to take the action? Right? Now, percentages of people take the action. When you have a free opt-in on your site, say, and it's just like drive-through traffic and Facebook traffic, and it's not a lot of, you know, necessarily targeted traffic that come to your site, you know, they say that if 25% of the people that visit actually opt in for your free gift, you are doing phenomenally, right? And so when you have a free opt-in on your gift, that's a form of copywriting. What's the hook? What's the problem? Click here to find more. Then how do you hook them in to then do the next step, which is click on and get your free gift. If you get 50% of the people that go to that opt-in page to actually click and download the opt-in, whoa, that is high. That's a good thing, right? If it's just general traffic, if it's warm traffic and you just have the small list that you've been nurturing, you may get 70, 75. We sometimes get 70 or 75% of the people that go to that page to go, yeah, I want that. But you first have to get them to click. You first have to get them to click. So how do you get them to click? Whether it's from your website, whether it's from your email, whether it's from your sales page, whether it's from your blog post, whether it's from your Facebook little blurb, right? How do you create the content to get the click? And this takes so much practice. I mean, all the time I'm trying and trying to get better and better at this. And if you see, there's a lot of summits out there, right? There's a lot of summits now. How do you know which ones are attracting you in that you go, oh, I want that one? Watch that, right? A way to get good at copywriting is to read and think about the stuff that you're clicking on. What's causing you to click? What's causing you to get that hooked in to whatever it is? And then you can start to say, okay, this is it. Make lists of what are the words that your target audience is using. Like Annette did some research by going to the Facebook pages, right, for this particular group of people. And she looked to see what language are they using. So that's what I would recommend too. Find the different blog posts, find the different Facebook groups, forums, sites out there that are dealing with your audience and look to see what the people are saying. Don't just read the article, read the comments. What are the questions people are asking? After somebody writes a beautiful article on, you know, PMS and dysmenorrhea, what are the questions that people are asking? What's the language they're using to describe their situation? That's going to help you to write effective copy. Make sense? Yeah? Helpful? Questions? Do we want to do some like, I don't know, looking at copy and tearing it apart? Not tearing it apart, you know what I mean? Figuring it out. Or talk about hooks. That's a great one. Like I said before, Allison was a little bit later joining, but Janet did this amazing hook for her opt-in. And Janet said, are you writing your grandchildren's obituary? Is that going to get attention? Maybe not from us that don't have grandchildren, but it's certainly going to get the attention from your target audience, right? That's who you're going for, that baby boomers that have grandchildren that are concerned about their health. Yeah. So I can open up the lines and we can just have a conversation, a discussion. I'm going to stop the recording and then restart it so I can easily edit the educational part of it. How do I do that? Here it is. I'm going to say stop. Stop recording. Yes.